Finally, today we're going to tell you about a new movie coming out this week. It's called Conviction. Tomorrow we'll be speaking with a woman named Betty Ann Waters and the two-time Oscar-winning actress who portrays her, Hilary Swank. Betty Ann Waters is a woman who spent 18 years fighting to overturn her brother's wrongful conviction for murder. Today, though, we want to share a bit of the movie's backstory. In the film, Betty Ann Waters calls upon an organization called the Innocence Project for help with DNA testing that could lead to her brother's exoneration. Barry Scheck co-founded the Innocence Project back in 1992, and he's with us now from New York. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
So let me play a short clip from the film. This is Betty Ann Waters, played, as we said, by Hilary Swank. Her friend is played by actress Minnie Driver, and she's trying to convince her that her quest to get this evidence tested might not be possible. Here it is.
Betty, they destroyed it.
No. That evidence exists somewhere, and I'm going to find it.
Okay. Let's say you do find it. What if the DNA matches Kenny's?
Get out. Get the hell out of my house right now!
No. You gotta hear this. Even if you're the most amazing fighter, the most brilliant lawyer in the world, there are forces greater than you, and you may not win.
You think you haven't thought of that?
You haven't.
Well, obviously, this clip in part shows just how fiercely Betty Ann felt in her brother's innocence, that she was willing to fight with a very close friend of hers in order to defend him. But the larger question is, how often is it the case that evidence that would be helpful no longer exists?
Well, about half the time when we finally take a case, because our criteria is, would DNA evidence prove that the person was innocent? The evidence is, you know, reported to be lost or destroyed. And it really has nothing to do with what the law is in a particular state. It has to do with the local legal culture as to whether they save it or not.
There is the case, though, that prosecutors still resist sometimes opening up or testing evidence anew. In fact, there's a case before the Supreme Court now where there's a Texas death row inmate who was allegedly found with the blood of murder victims on his clothing, and he's seeking the court's help in getting access to other evidence that might implicate somebody else. Why is there still resistance to testing evidence?
It's hard to comprehend, really. I mean, the resistance is less and less. When we started the Innocence Project in 1992, there was no state in the country that had a post-conviction DNA statute. Now, 48 states have post-conviction DNA statutes because, as you well know, there were statutes of limitations. There still are in many states on bringing in newly discovered evidence of innocence. I don't think the average person understands quite rightly as to why, if there's new, reliable, you know, clear evidence that somebody didn't do the crime, can you not get into court and present it?
Well, prosecutors are arguing, I think, that those who oppose bringing evidence in or who would prefer to keep strict deadlines on this argue that these appeals are either frivolous or burdensome to the system. What is your response to that?
There's a good argument to be made in favor of finality, but not really when it comes to DNA evidence that can demonstrate innocence and identify the person who really committed the crime. I mean, we're talking here about particularly reliable evidence so that your adjudication 10, 20, 30 years later can be more reliable than that first trial. Even though memories fade and witnesses disappear, you know, DNA is very reliable and can tell you something that you never would have known at the first trial, just as in Kenny's case. The murder was in 1981. His trial was in 1983. And DNA evidence hadn't come into the courtrooms until 1989.
In fact, that some of the people who your project has helped have been in prison for decades, like Kenny, even longer than Kenny Waters was in prison until DNA evidence led to their release. I just want to play a short clip from an interview that we did with a Mr. James Bain, who was convicted of the 1974 kidnapping and rape of a 9-year-old boy, largely on the testimony of another 9-year-old. He was eventually assisted by the Innocence Project, and he was released after 35 years in prison. I just want to play a short clip from a conversation I had with Mr. Bain last December.
When I go back to that moment, miss, a big relief come to me. And that's the first time I ever seen even a judge smile.
Really?
He said it in such a way, he just went to smiling himself.
You told reporters that you're not angry, despite having, you know, 35 years of your life taken away. Why do you think you're not?
Miss, after looking back after that, all this thing took place, I can't feel bitter because the family was doing what they feel was best because I would have did the same thing.
Well, what about you, Mr. Scheck? After all these years now working on cases like this where you see, you know, errors, in some cases deliberate or misconduct applied to cases where many people's lives have been wasted, if I can say that. How do you feel now about the system of which you are a part?
Well, we always are upset when there's, you know, misconduct that leads to a wrongful conviction. But we have a whole agenda of reforms which get at the causes of wrongful conviction. And we're making progress on all these fronts. So if we take an opportunity now and try to figure out these causes and how we can redress them, it's a win-win for the whole system.
I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention your involvement in another notorious, famous case of
you mean the case of the football player in Los Angeles?
The football player in Los Angeles, yeah. O.J. Simpson. This case continues to be polarizing, I would think, which many people continue to believe that this is a case of a wrongful release where the sort of technicalities allowed a release to go forward, that someone to be released who should have been convicted. And I just wondered, after all these years later, what are your thoughts about that?
My view about that matter is that it didn't do anything good that I can see for the American criminal justice system, but there was a silver lining, and the silver lining had to do with the forensics. Crime labs all across the country, police departments all agreed essentially with the critique that the defense made about how everything was collected, that it was wrong and unreliable and couldn't happen that way again, and it really caused a sea change in the way that law enforcement approaches essentially what's a 21st century technology, and they no longer use 19th century evidence gathering methods. So that's about the only good thing these days that I can think of that came out of the Simpson matter.
So at the end of the day, what do you think we should think about our criminal justice system? We often like to believe that it is the best and fairest in the world. Is it? What should we draw from your experience over the course of time?
Well, it's in some ways, I would say most ways, the greatest in the world, but only because, you know, we have to work at it. You know, I mean, there's so much we can do to make this system more reliable and, frankly, more scientific. And that is the work of our project. And innocence projects, the concept that there are lawyers that are just focusing on whether somebody did it or not after the conviction, that's a very different idea than, you know, the conventional adversary system. Although, please, let me be the absolute first to tell you that the criminal defense lawyer who sometimes represents the guilty, right, is liberty's last champions. And if it weren't for the defense lawyers, the whole system would implode on itself. So I don't want to poo-poo the adversary system. I'm just saying that this innocence movement is something different. And I think we can now see, close to 20 years into it, something extremely beneficial for the criminal justice system.
Barry Scheck is the co-founder of the Innocence Project. It's affiliated with the Benjamin Cardozo School of Law at Yeshiva University in New York. He is portrayed in the new movie Conviction, which is out this Friday. And this is a reminder that we'll be speaking with the star and executive producer of that film, Hilary Swank, tomorrow, as well as the person Ms. Swank portrays, Betty Ann Waters. And Barry Scheck joined us from our bureau in New York. Barry Scheck, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.